Well, this is a first. And John's promise he's not going to sit right in the middle there and put me off. So a couple of weeks ago, Rich sent out an email asking us to share at Sail Group about our reflections on last year and the thoughts for the coming year. And I got home from work on the Wednesday night and started thinking about what I wanted to share. And my little bit of sharing suddenly grew bigger and bigger and bigger. So hence why I'm here today doing this, because the more I shared it with Richard, the bigger it got and expanded. And we had a fantastic evening that Wednesday, for those of you who remember it. Everybody was able to share something, and it was just really great to listen to people's reflections of the last year and where their plans are for this coming year. So because we ran out of time and it was in our house, Rich asked me if I would be able to share it this morning. So please don't expect a three-point preach, because this is not a three-point preach. This is just an extended testimony that I wasn't able to share on that cell group evening. The three-point preaches we leave to Rich, okay? Even though he said it was his resolution not to do them. We were asked to reflect on our year and last year, and these are some of the highlights for me. First highlight for the year for me was Africa. I remember saying to somebody who was sat in a pub about a year ago, saying, I'll never get to go to Africa because it always falls in term time and I'll never be able to go. It's one of those sweeping statements we all make from time to time. I'll never be able to go because I work in a school and I can't get the time off. So it turned out a real blessing for me when this time last year, the dates came through for the Africa conference, and they fell right smack bang in the middle of the school holidays. And so as a leadership team, it was agreed that Linda and I would be able to accompany Rich and John. And, what more can I say about it? What an amazing experience that I got to go to, and one that I won't forget in a hurry. And going out to Africa gives you a whole new perspective of the work that we're involved in. Now, we're relatively small here, as we know and as we say, but we have a massive impact out there, and we're loved and honoured by everybody out there. And so it was a real honour and a blessing for me, and a real highlight for me to be part of that last Easter. Another highlight from my year last year was Esther's graduation. It was a beautiful, hot, sunny day. It fell on a Thursday, and I was very blessed that my head allowed me to have the Thursday and the Friday off so we could make a long weekend of it. Apart from the graduation day itself, which was wonderful, we spent the Friday with Esther, showing her places that we went to in our teens and 20s, so a bit trip down memory lane, which was lovely, before she went off on her travels to Costa Rica. Although one of the memories of that weekend was quite interesting, because it was one of the worst storms that I've experienced for many, 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 many years. 6 hours of thunder and lightning and torrential rain and wind. And it was so bad that it actually tore the awning off the side of our caravan, our little porch awning. So I smile now, but at the time, as you can imagine for me, it was a bit scary. November, we saw Nathan with his passing out ceremony in the Army Reserves. Again, it was a little bit more difficult, but I managed to get the day off to go to that. And again, an amazing day. So glad we were there and part of it, and we're so, so incredibly proud of him. But it did remind me of many, many years previous when we went to Andrew's passing out. And this... sorry, Andrew. But all I remember was how cold it was, and Nathan's wasn't nearly as cold as that. I could actually feel my feet at Nathan's. I couldn't at Andrew's. We'd planned to go up to the Lake District for half term in the caravan, and then a couple of weeks before we back in back end of September, beginning of October, we decided to not do that. We would go to Spain. We'd get a bit of heat on us. So we did. We had a wonderful week, sunshine every day. Everything just went so smoothly. Hiring the car, the flight, everything was amazing. So the biggest decisions we had to make all week was, In the morning, which sunbed shall we get on? In the evening, which restaurant shall we go to eat? And in the middle of the day, should we have wine or beer with our lunch? You know, it's one of those really difficult weeks that you need from time to time. Yes, I didn't say that, Ian. and it was great as well, because for those of you who, like us, went away at the August bank holiday, we sat for a week in the caravan with the rain lashing down around us and the caravan literally swaying. So it was great to get, as I say, a bit of sun on our bodies and had a really blessed time. And we came back feeling really refreshed. So that's just a couple of my highlights. Rest was just a normal year. We didn't have any weddings or anything exciting to plan. And sometimes that's okay if your life just plods on like that. But for me, my year was tarnished. Now, that sounds a really strong word, but that's how I remember last year, by my accident with my ribs. I laugh and I blame Esther that even though she was the other side of the world in Costa Rica, I was cleaning her bathroom when I had the fall. So my children get the blame even when they're not there. Sorry, Esther. Hadn't cleaned it to my standards. So. So back at the beginning of November, whilst my ribs were still healing, because they were taking a bit longer than I expected, me, being me, I decided to do some decorating straight after half term, after our lovely relaxing week. And by stretching, I pulled something in my other side, opposite side to my ribs, which caused me a great deal of pain in my chest and all the rest of it, and it really set me back. And because of both the falls, it actually caused flare-ups with my arthritis, which is when your joints get really, really painful. And then I had a call back from the doctors. I have to have monthly blood tests for my arthritis because of the medication I'm on. And it came back with an abnormal result. So that was a bit of a panicky week because the medication affects your liver and they had to do all these other tests and things. So a bit nerve-wracking. And then we decided at the beginning of December, because it was nearly Christmas, to do a day of Christmas shopping. First day thinking about Christmas, right at the beginning of December, went to the garden centre, first call, walked outside, slipped on the ice, did myself in again. And then to top it all, I've probably had one of the worst Christmas and New Year's for sickness than I've ever known. Just been unwell for the whole 2 weeks, whether it was a cough or a cold or the ear infection or the lose my voice or the sickness over the New Year. I didn't feel blessed. I have to put my hands up and say, Rich talked about being blessed last week. I didn't feel blessed. And I thought, God, I'm glad that year's over. But it did teach me a few things along the way. Now, Rich referred last week to using the UCB notes. And I make no apology this morning that I dip into the UCB notes. And I'll be referring to them quite a lot this morning. So last day of the year, UCB notes, 31st of December, God has something better for you. Well, can't get clearer than that, can you? You know, that year's over, God's got something better for me. Well, I hoped he had, because I couldn't have another 6 months like I had at the back end of last year. And the reading was based on the scripture in Psalm 84:11, the Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. And it talks about how we often ask God for something and sometimes he says yes straight away, sometimes no, or wait. Why would he do that? It's usually because he has something better in mind. And the notes of the day also reminded us that gratitude comes when you realise what could have happened but didn't, because God intervened. So what you're worried or upset about now, you may be thanking God for later. Now, hindsight, as we all know, is a wonderful thing. And God often reminds us when we're through a situation or a circumstance or a request that he knew what he was doing all along, even if we don't know what's happening. Again, that same day in the UCB notes, it reads this from Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We all know that scripture. And this is the picture it builds up. God leading you, God feeding you, God protecting you, God watching over you. And like a lifeguard at a beach, in order to save you, God will sometimes interrupt your life. He'll risk embarrassing you in front of your friends, and I did smile at this bit, he maybe even bruise a rib or two. And that's because he loves you so much, he doesn't want you to drown in the things that you thought were good for you. But the main thing is that God has something better for you. Like I said, I could say that anything could be better than the last 6 months, but throughout the time, I didn't lose sight that God had always got something better for me. I just found it hard sometimes, if I'm perfectly honest, to lift my head above the parapet and really believe it. And particularly in the last month before Christmas, where I felt not just physically but emotionally attacked. So what did I learn along the way? You know, you don't go through these things unless you learn something. So I learned that even when we're hurt, whether physically, emotionally, socially, God still protects us. So my health wasn't brilliant. But after 8 weeks, I could drive again after doing my ribs in. I could get on with my work. I could look after my family. I was still slightly debilitated, but I managed. And when I needed some supernatural physical strength, I prayed and God always came up trumps for me. But I also had to listen to my body and take time to rest. And when you have rest enforced on you, it can be quite difficult to accept. You know, in the grand scheme of things, for me, in my young life, this is just a temporary setback. But there are others who have to live with life-changing disabilities. And I'd love to stand, both now and in the future, with anybody who feels they want prayer for healing. The second thing God showed me is he put others alongside me. He puts others alongside us to help. As you know, I went to camp the week after doing my ribs in, and I will openly admit that I struggle, as I'm Mrs. Independent. I'm the person that does for everybody else. I'm the one that provides the meals and entertains. Not this year. I couldn't do it. But I had to humble myself and accept all the help. It was given to me. Sorry. And I was very grateful, and still am, because everyone rallied round and I felt so loved and cared for, and it was really overwhelming, hence this, sorry. I still overdid it though and ended up with a virus the next week, so I didn't learn actually that week, but since I've learnt. In spite of my own temporary disability, God was still able to use me. A few weeks before Christmas, I was able to share here one Sunday morning how I'd had opportunities in school to talk to people, to pray with them, to pray for them, to share with them. And I'd actually been able to say to them over this last month before Christmas that in spite of all that had happened to me in the last 6 months, with my ribs and everything, that I believed in the power of healing. And I was also able to confess that I had a back injury for 23 years, or a back problem for 23 years, and how God had healed me from that. And so I'm still standing on that, that he will continue to heal me from my ribs, from all the accidents I've had this year, but also through my arthritis as well. Even though I've been through difficulties, God's still been able to use me. I've learnt the importance of God's healing because I struggled mentally as well as physically. Because I think John referred to it this morning, when you're constantly ill, it gets you down. Especially if you're an active person. And those who know me know I'm a very active person and I don't stop. And a physical holding back is really frustrating. So I'm going to continue to pray that I see God's complete healing in my life. And I'm reminded of the scripture in Psalm 46, verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God." And I sometimes need to be still. And I've learned that sometimes God has to pull you up short because he needs to make changes in your life. We talked about changes at cell group on Wednesday. And sometimes we carry on doing the things that God's no longer in. He may even break a rib or two to do this. Drastic measures, I know, but sometimes he needs that for you to sit back and listen and hear him when he's not in the work that you're doing anymore or the things that you're doing anymore. So what else? 5th of January. So we've moved out of the old year into the new. UCB note said, it's time to move on. Well, we often think this at this time of the year, don't we? And this was based on the scripture in Job 11, verse 16. You will forget your trouble as water's gone by. Now, I know a lot of people read this because it was on Facebook. Quite a lot of people put this on Facebook. It says, no matter how bad things look, always remember the words, it came to pass, not to stay. Life doesn't stand still. There will always be challenges. Don't let them destroy your confidence. Instead, use them as opportunities to grow. And when the water that's flowing around your ankle today passes, you will never see it again. And I have this picture when I read that of, you know, the first time you go to the beach in the year when the weather's bright enough to, and you stand at the water's edge and the waves come over your feet, bare feet. And it goes and it comes again. It's not the same wave that comes over your feet again. It's a different wave. And that's what it's like. Whatever we're going through, it passes. Something new comes. Challenges come, but it passes. It will never be the same coming and going. It's always different. It's always a fresh wave. It's always a fresh wave of what God's got for us. I read with interest the UCB notes on the 6th and 7th of January. So I was following this through. And it talked about being totally fatigued. Now, I won't read it to you, but there's a whole long list in there of things that you can identify with, and they call it being totally fatigued. And that was me. I was exhausted, I was irritable, I was overworked. Talks about emotional numbness. For me, it wasn't a numbness about emotion. I would burst into tears in the middle of the school office. I'd went shopping with Rich and burst into tears in the middle of the mall. Not me. This is not me who does this sort of thing. You know, I view myself, like I said, as Mrs. Independent. I'm a coper. I don't let things hold me back. Every day I stand on the word of God in Psalm 27. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. As you know, I feel I have quite a challenging job sometimes in the school. And I do stand on that word every day because I need help every day to get me through my job sometimes. But I knew that God was still trying to teach me something through all of this. So, there you go. I've painted quite a bleak picture. Had a few highlights at the beginning and then this very bleak picture of my life for the last 6 months. So what next? Do I stay there? No. I hope you're all thinking, no, she's not going to stay there. This is a new year, fresh start and a new challenge. Time for opportunities. And again, we spoke about this on Wednesday at Cell Group about change. Sometimes we don't want to embrace change, but sometimes we have to embrace change. And it isn't always a bad thing to embrace change. Now, bearing in mind, at the very beginning of this, I said I haven't got a three-point preach. I do have three observations I'd like to share with you. The first one is this. If you're like me, you often start the new year thinking, right, I'm going to get fit, I'm going to get healthy. So firstly, we might need to do a little detox. Okay, so in the natural, you can go to Tesco and buy some detox tea bags. These aren't mine, by the way. The rest is. yeah, so you take one of these every morning and, in theory, cleans you out inside. Now, I know I'm guilty of filling my physical being with rubbish. Eat too much chocolate, too many takeaway meals, too much wine, not enough sleep. So I need to cleanse myself from the inside out, get rid of all the rubbish that I've put in there over the year. some people actually go to the disgusting habit of colonic irrigation, which I can't think of nothing worse. But I can understand why they do it, if, particularly if they've got lots of horrible toxins in there they need to get rid of. But tea bags might be your first point of call. The principle, though, cheaper, yeah, is about clearing out. Clearing out the old is good. Richard last week in his preach called it about the clutter in our lives. Sometimes we have to get rid of the clutter in our lives. Now, a testimony from earlier is that there were lots of things I didn't like about last year, and so I need to spiritually detox them. Things that got me down or struggled with. But there's an old saying that says, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. So I need to make sure that when I spiritually detox, I keep hold of the things that God taught me from last year. I keep hold of the things where I made progress and I don't go back, but I move forward in those things. There's an old song based on Psalm 139, and it says, the song goes, search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Lord, and know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. So my question to you is, do you have things from last year, last week, or even many, many years ago that you need to detox from, that you need to spiritually clean out? Remember to hold on to the good things that God's shown you and is continuing to show you. Get rid of some of the rubbish that we no longer have to hold on to. Some of us hold on to things from when we were very little. New year, new start, time to detox them. My second observation is that once we've cleared out the old, we don't fill it back up with rubbish. Now, again, this is Esther's. She's the healthy one in the family. Antioxidant super smoothie. So you detox with the detox tea bags and you get rid of the rubbish and you fill it up with good stuff. Now, antioxidants, I believe, are very good for you, and it comes in many forms. But to clear out, you then need to fill it with good, not go back to filling it with the rubbish. And we need to do that spiritually. Let's detox of the rubbish, but let's fill ourselves with the good things of God. Reading our Bible, praying, worshipping, fellowshipping. Now, when my Samuel comes home, he hates our kettle every time he comes home. Because in Wales, they have lovely soft water. They don't know what scale is in a kettle. And even though I descale my kettle regularly, it's still got scale on it. But it's no good me descaling my kettle and then filling it back up with tap water, because it's just going to scale up again within a week. I need to then refill it with purified water or filtered water so that it keeps fresh. And we need to fill ourselves with the fresh word of God and spend time with him daily. We've talked about this over the last couple of weeks, both here and at Cell Group, and even referred to it this morning about filling ourselves with God, and we stay purified by keeping ourselves full of the good stuff. So what happens if we have a bit of a lapse? You know, you have that glass of wine with a Chinese meal followed by chocolate. You detox the next day. That's what we can do with God. We can do a quick detox with God, with spiritual things. You know, we can never go too far that God cannot cleanse us. A scripture I learnt many, many years ago, back in my youth, and it's one that sticks with me, is 1 John 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So don't think you've gone too far that you can't get back and start filling yourselves again with God. And finally, my bag of goodies down here. Now, these are mine. They're not tatty from running, though, I have to say. Maybe a bit gardening or something. New year, new start, new regimes. Now, because I work in a school, I often do this in a September because I work on an academic basis. And it's funny, isn't it, when we have new regimes, it's to suit our own needs sometimes, like the diet always starts tomorrow because there's a big chunk of chocolate there. Does tomorrow ever come? Well, when it comes to getting fit, New Year's a good time to start. Although why anybody would want to go jogging in January in the coldest, darkest, wettest month of the year, I have no idea. Now at the moment, because of my medication, I can't control my weight. And it goes up and down. But I can keep myself fit. I can still go for walks. I can still swim. So I can still do things that I'm in control of. Now we need to keep fit in the things of God. We can't always control our circumstances, our day-to-day work circumstances, our family, our home. But we can keep fit in the things of God. And there's this scripture in 1 Corinthians 9, 25 to 27. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Now I'm blessed. I'm blessed, we use that word blessed again, because God's already spoken to me about some plans he has for me this year. But I need to discipline myself and keep on track with where God's leading me and always be open. And I need to have to persevere, even at times I want to give up. Let me tell you a little example from this morning. I wear contact lenses, as most of you know, and I had to put one in four times, in and out, in and out, in and out, till my eye was red and swollen and bloodshot. But I needed them because otherwise I wouldn't be able to read anything this morning. And about 10 minutes before we were going to come out this morning, I kept persevering, putting the drops in and everything. And in the end, what I did, I went and threw that lens away. And I put a fresh lens in, straight in, perfect, no problem at all. Sometimes we have to persevere, but sometimes we just have to fill ourselves with fresh stuff. And if you're filling yourself with the fresh stuff, you can see clearly then. And I haven't got a bloodshot eye now, I don't think. There's an old Frank Sinatra song. And for those who watch Mel Gibson in his films, and it goes like this. I've got you under my skin. I've got you deep in the heart of me. So deep in my heart that you're really a part of me. I've got you under my skin. Now, those who have ever seen the film What Women Want, you'll all be picturing Mel Gibson dancing to that. No? Nobody? Just me, then. When you've been married a long time, or you've known your husband, wife for a long time, some of you back in your teens. Yes, Richard and Louise, I'm looking at you. Many, many years. You get to know their likes, dislike, character, what makes them tick. Sometimes they get under our skin, not into, you know, they get on our nerves, but they do get under your skin. You know them. You know nearly everything about them. But that's like God. You know, nobody, not even our partners that we've been with since we were 14, know us in the same way that God knows us. And my prayer for me this year is that God is so under my skin that he's an integral part of me. He's so deep in my heart that we move as one. Now, Helen said a couple of Sundays ago, what does this year hold for you? Well, on reflection, I've shared with you my few highlights from last year. I'm sure there was a lot more. I just those were some of the highlights. So this is a new year, a new start to the year. So my challenge is to take opportunity to seek first God's kingdom. And then I know all the desires of my heart, if they're in accordance with his plan, will come into being for my life. In Isaiah 43:19, it says, for I am about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? Well, let me just tell you, this is something new, me standing up here. May not be a regular thing, but it's something that I was challenged about. Richard just said to me, will you share on the Sunday? And I didn't go, absolutely not. I said, I'll think about it. You know, it says again in that scripture, I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. Yes, I will make rivers in the dry wasteland so that my chosen people can be refreshed. Are you coming off the back of a wilderness year or a few years? God's already begun. He's got a new start for you. He will create rivers in the dry wasteland so that you can be refreshed. Just ask him right at the beginning of the year now what opportunities he wants to give you.